KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
The organization BARC's mission is to transform Mount Hood National Forest into a place where natural processes prevail, where wildlife thrives, and where local communities have a social, cultural, and economic investment in its restoration and preservation. We're fortunate now to have live in the KBOO studios Courtney Ray. She's the community organizer at BARC, and calling in, not live in the studio, but live somewhere, is Mason Miller, a volunteer hike leader, to discuss BARC's upcoming events, the April Lichen Hike and the People's Forest Forum on April 15th. Welcome, Courtney, and welcome, Mesa.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Oh, thanks for coming in. First, I thought BARC was an acronym. So could you tell our listeners what it actually stands for? It's not an acronym.
It's not, but it's a really great question and a great way to introduce BARC. The name comes from the Barker, which is kind of a historical personality, that person who would stand out on the street and call attention to something that the public should be made aware of, especially in terms of threats to public interest. And that has also developed to include more things, like bark is the protective layer of the tree, for example, right. And we are a forest defense group, so that's appropriate. Or a dog will bark when there's some danger. And we are also watchdogging the activities of Mountain National Forest.
What a great name. There's at least three layers
of
meaning there.
It works. It's very multifaceted. Yeah.
And what does BARC do as an organization? I mentioned kind of their mission statement in the introduction.
Right. So we're a place-based organization, which means we are focused on Mount Hood National Forest and some of the surrounding public lands, Bureau of Land Management lands and places like that. What we want to see is that the Forest Service is held accountable to managing that public land in the benefit for the most people, and moving away in particular from the commercial extraction that has been really the main focus of national forest management over the last 100 years. So the commercial timber program or any kind of fossil fuel infrastructure across those public lands would be things that we are opposing.
And this is, we should clarify, it is definitely federal government public lands. I know we've done many stories recently on the Elliott State Forest,
right.
And that is state, and the state controls that. So you're working directly with the federal government organizations on this, the Forest Service?
Yeah, the Mount Hood Forest Service is a federal agency, and they are tasked with managing the lands of Mount Hood. So there's about 1 million acres there. That's our local Forest Service that we engage with. Those are the folks that you'll see driving around while you're out in the forest. So they manage things like recreation and wildlife, as well as the commercial timber program. And so we have places where we want to see more restoration and more proactive and good works, ecologically restorative works on the forest, like reintroducing beavers or native pollinators and plant life. But we are also looking to move the agency away from prioritizing commercial sales of timber on public lands.
To kind of protect the environment there rather than sell it off or lease it to private companies. And you mentioned plants there, so we should mention the first event we'd like to talk about. That's the Lichen Hike. Mesa, are you on the phone? Do we have Mesa Miller on the phone? I guess not yet. Courtney, would you be able to talk a little bit? Mesa, by the way, is one of the volunteer hike leaders, so
perfect.
She'd be perfect to talk about it, but apparently we don't have her on the phone
right now.
Well,
we have a lot of volunteer roles. Mesa is a hike leader, and you know, that's a really important role because getting people out to the forest to experience what's really rare ecological setting here in the Cascades is really important to our work, helping folks understand what exactly the impacts of commercial logging are. So each month we have a hike and an ecology club that are kind of focused on giving people information around the natural processes of Mount Hood. The Lichen Hike is kind of a regular April event. It's a great time to see lichen as they kind of come out of the winter. And the Ecology Club this month will also be themed around lichen, and we'll look at some of the interesting things you can do with them. We'll create some natural dyes and things like that. Some of the other volunteer opportunities are to ground truth in Mount Hood National Forest, and that is in particular looking at proposed timber sales and making sure that we're getting accurate on-the-ground information about those areas of the forest.
Oh, how is that done? Do you actually have people there?
Yeah. That's, I mean, a huge part of our volunteer base.
And supervising the people who are the federal government who's actually doing the count? And
well, the Forest Service does not have the kind of capacity that BARC has as far as boots on the ground. And so we have I think over 100 active volunteer ground truthers right now who will go out to every single unit in any timber sale if we have the capacity. And yeah, check to see what is the plant life there, what is the water hydrology in that area. Is there anything rare? What is the wildlife that you can see? And, you know, all kinds of different assessments of the ecological status. And we'll then submit that information to the Forest Service as they're proposing to do timber projects. And that often, you know, is information that they don't have as an agency just because they are under a lot of pressure the resources always to get to all those spaces. So we want to be able to provide that information and make sure that the Forest Service is doing its due diligence. And we also want the public to have that knowledge and to feel empowered to take action in the decision-making process.
And what is that relationship like with the Forest Service? Are they appreciative? I mean, you're doing a lot of work for them, or are they kind of resistant? What are these guys up to? Or
I'd say it comes and goes. They have been really appreciative on some projects. On other projects, it's been a little hairier.
Can you give us an example of one of the hairier projects?
The Jazz Timber Sale a few years ago is something many people in Portland may be familiar with. It was a very large project at the time, though we are seeing even larger timber sales proposed nowadays. The public was up in arms in opposition to Jazz. We found that logging in the Clackamas, which is the south part of the forest in the Clackamas District, was going to have a really severe impact on soils and hydrology and the watershed in general. And we lost. We lost, and we weren't able to get that sale stopped. And so
What were the reasons they didn't feel that there was enough of an impact?
Ultimately, and it did go to court, and the hearing or the judge's the judge decided that the Forest Service to defer to the agency, basically, and say they must, you know, this is their job and they must know, even though we had spent thousands of hours out there collecting information that would say otherwise, that that particular project would be incredibly destructive. There's a really interesting and impactful video on our website that you can watch about the aftermath of the Jazz timber sale once the logging had happened in some of those areas. We sent folks out to take video and kind of testify to the impacts of that sale.
Can you give our listeners the website?
Yeah, it's bark-out.org. The homepage there has events and news, and if you scroll to the bottom, you'll see the video.
I just wanted to get back to the lichen hike. It's two parts, isn't it? There's an event the night before and then the day of.
So each month there's a hike and an ecology club, and they typically share a theme. The regularly scheduled date is the second Sunday of the month for the hike, and then the following Monday, so the second Monday. However, in April, it's a little bit different because there's so much coming up with Earth Day and Earth Week. And so the Lichen Night, which is an Ecology Club event that happens at our office here in Portland, that will happen on the Friday the 7th, so prior to the second Sunday. And then the second Sunday hike, as normal, will be the Lichen Hike.
And that's the 9th?
That's the 9th. And to go to that hike, you just meet us. Just meet us at the Hollywood Trader Joe's in the parking lot there. There will be hike leaders. Mesa will be there with a map and directions. And people will carpool together out to a location that the hike leaders have chosen.
As simple as that, Courtney? They don't have to sign up in advance or anything?
Nope.
And say our listeners now, or there's people out there interested in going, how should they prepare for wet weather?
Yes, hiking prepare for boots, wet weather. I would say, you know, standard Oregonian dress is good. So layers, boots,
bring lunch, something like that.
Lunch, water, anything that you will want or need for a day in the forest. Much of the forest is still under snow, though I don't expect that you'll need snowshoes or anything for this hike. And kids are welcome. It's not typically a very lengthy or strenuous hike. It's more kind of to explore an area. So you just kind of wander around and look at things and ask questions of your hike leader. And there's often many other people on the hike who have some information or experience that can spur conversations, and people find it just a chance to learn
about
what's going on. Yeah.
This actually came up before you got on. We were talking. You mentioned there's a difference between lichen and moss. Which,
well, you have to
Natalie knows, but I didn't.
I don't really know that. Well, either myself. You'll have to find the answer to that question. You'll have to come on the hike or come to the ecology club.
That's fair.
To be continued.
We have a whole lichen library at the office, so you can poke around.
So as a hike, it's not just a good idea to get out there and support bark, but it's also educational. You'd find out a little bit more about the forest that you know, everybody in the state pretty much loves.
Yeah.
Except maybe some of the lumber companies.
Many of those folks love it too, you know, and it's all about what is the management, what is the direction that that agency has been tasked with. And right now, they are working with a management plan that is almost 30 years old. It was written before climate change was something that became part of any land management.
So that's not part of their land management planning now?
Nope. I mean, there are some kind of newer directives that came out of the Obama administration that do say to different agencies, you have to look at what the impacts of climate change will be when you're planning projects. But the main body of the management directives is the Mount Hood National Forest Management Plan, which you can come to our office and see. It's a giant book. Does not mention climate change, does not direct that agency to consider the impacts of what their projects will have or how that could be, you know, like combined with the changing climate and the impacts that we'll see from just changing weather patterns and temperatures and things like that. So another thing that we're working on right now is to create like a vision for what this management really should look like and
based on
kind
current scientific knowledge.
Yeah.
Like climate change.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that we'll be addressing first with the People's Forest Forum that's coming up on the 15th of this month to give the public a chance to look at kind of what are the outcomes of the current management plan? Well, how is that not good enough? And then, you know, what do we want? How would we want the agency to change? And what would we want the agency to put into the new or the updated plan? And starting with gathering that information from the public. So, on Saturday the 15th, we will have a full day of panelists, and then we'll have breakout sessions to talk about things like the impact of fire on the forest and the impact of climate change on fire, to talk about water, in particular drinking water for people, and also habitat. You know, salmon and other wildlife are going to be stressed by changing water temperatures and precipitation cycles and things like that.
Who are some of the speakers? Will they be from the Forest Service?
Or, we haven't had anyone from the Forest Service officially confirm that they'll be there yet. But that's not to say they may. They may be there. We have John Talberth with the Center of Sustainable Economy. We have Maya Jarrett, who's an organizer with 350 PDX. We have, a professor from Portland State University, professor of aquatics, and a few other folks. Then at each of the breakout sessions, we'll have other experts from places like the Cascade Forest Conservancy and kind of other regional organizations to help answer people's questions on the different ecological topics that we're bringing out. And and we're just hoping that folks will come with their questions. You know, we really want to kind of generate the information that the public needs on this issue.
So it's a very distinguished panel of people who will be there. It's free and open to the public?
Absolutely.
And when does it start and how long does it go? It's all day. You mentioned Saturday the
15th. It starts at 11 a.m. It's at the Sunnyside Community House, which is about 34th and Yamhill, Southeast Portland. Be 11 until about 5 p.m.
Well, that's fantastic. And then people who attend can find out a little bit more about bark, maybe get involved in some of the hikes and some of the great work you do with Mount Hood Forest. It's fantastic to have you guys protecting some of the most important parts of our state,
Oregon, Oregon. Everyone's help to do it. So hope to see you all coming out.
Yeah, maybe I'll spin on by myself.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I've got to go now to find out the difference between lichen and moss. Anyway, Courtney, thanks very much. Mesa Miller, we weren't able to get her on the phone, but she'll be there for the lichen hike. We've been talking with Courtney Ray of BARC, and you can find out more about their great work and upcoming events, including the Lichen Hike, on their website, bark-out.org.